It's time for Operation Freedom with your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham Talk 1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at Wham Talk 1600. We have a new feature that I put out on our YouTube channel. Usually I put out a 15-20 minute YouTube every Tuesday morning. We post it. Operation Freedom is the channel on YouTube. We talk about some geopolitical issues. But now what I'm doing every Friday, I have a new feature out called Dave versus the MSM. And I highlight one of the featured topics that we're going to discuss on the show. It's 2 minutes. It's worth your time, especially to network. And in particular, the topic I focused on this week is going to involve our next guest in this half hour and the guest following. You know, folks, we have some huge, enormous financial issues associated with this country. And I know we have $21.5 trillion in debt, which is enormous, and which is a huge issue in and of itself. We also have the unfunded liabilities and mandates problem, or if you will, part of the equation that adds trillions more to the equation. But thanks to our next guest, his research team, and our guest in the 4:30 hour, Catherine Austin Fitz, there's another set of issues that need to be dissected, need to be evaluated, and these are issues that the bought-off lamestream fake media will not go near, because it's really gets to some sinister, sinister questions that have to be asked. I'm honored to have back with me Dr. Mark Skidmore. Mark is a professor of economics and agricultural food and resource economics at the great Michigan State University, where he holds the Morris Chair in State and Local Government Finance and Policy. Mark received his doctorate in economics from the University of Colorado and his bachelor's degree in economics from the University of Washington. Mark is co-editor of the Journal of Urban Affairs. It's my honor to have back with us Dr. Mark Skidmore. Mark, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Hi, Dr. Janda. Nice to be on again. Thanks for having me.
Well, Mark, let's take it a bit from the beginning, because I believe that foundation is critical for all of our new listeners. We have thousands of new listeners around the world every week listen through to our show over the internet. Last week, I believe we had listeners from 72 different countries listening to the show, either listening live or getting the podcast. So, Mark, you, I don't know if I want to say stumbled upon, but you you got wind of some information, and you and Catherine Austin Fitz and your research team at Michigan State University started to look into some of that information that you initially gleaned. Educate all of our listeners by way of foundation the information that you found to be very important, which I believe any person that's alive and awakened will find to be important.
Well, yeah, I'll try to do it quickly so we can move on to what has happened more recently, which is very interesting and important. But I had been listening to Catherine Austin Fitz talk on an interview, and she had mentioned a government report produced by the Office of the Inspector General, in which the Army in 2015, which had a $122 billion budget, had $6.5 trillion in unsupported adjustments. And these are essentially transactions that our own government says we can't verify. And so it's a huge number. I thought she was wrong. I thought maybe it was in the billions rather than trillions. So I looked it up myself, and sure enough, it said trillions. I started reading the report and asking myself questions based on some data in the appendix, which is very limited and vague. And so I contacted Catherine. We decided to work together, and for a number of months, some graduate students and I poured through thousands of documents on the Office of the Inspector General website, as well as other government websites, and pulled together a set of documents, which is incomplete, for Housing and Urban Development and DOD. And the transactions that our own government says we can't verify amounted to $21 trillion. And so that had gotten a fair amount of play in the alternative media. And just this past week, investigative Dave Lindorf, just published an article about the topic in a magazine called The Nation. Mm-hmm. So I'll stop there, and you can chime in, and then we'll go from there.
Well, when you came up with these findings, first of all, kind of hard to believe, didn't you think?
Oh, it's almost unfathomable, the amount of money. That's $64,000-$65,000 per person. And when you look at the reports, there are questions you could ask. You know, like one question that I've been harping on, trying to get an answer from the Office of the Inspector General is, this is just one example in the Army report, $2.1 trillion in 170 transactions. And so I really focused on that question because I felt it was answerable.
Mm-hmm.
The OIG isn't going to tell me where $21 trillion in transactions might have gone or what the purpose was other than, you know, general, you know, we have system problems, we have, you know, accounting issues, you know, vague kinds of responses. I felt that was an answerable thing.
Oh, sure, and I'm sure they provided you an immediate answer. What did they tell you?
No, they stopped responding to any of my inquiries.
Oh.
At one point, I gave an interview on Michigan Public Radio, and they responded to the producer there and said, we'd be happy to answer more questions and provide any data. And I said, yes, I'll forget any about my other questions. Just address this one. Send me a spreadsheet, publish an addendum to the report so that we can all see what those 170 that's more than 10, 20 billion dollars per transaction. $2.1 trillion is bigger than the economy of India, you know, more than a billion people. It's a huge economy. So it just doesn't make any sense, right? It doesn't match anything. And usually these adjustments do occur in the public sector, both public and private, when you don't have receipts and you can't verify. An auditor comes in and says, you know what, there's some stuff here that we just can't verify.
Mm-hmm.
But it's usually just a small percentage of authorized spending. And in this case, for the Army, it was $6.5 trillion,
mm-hmm.
which is 54 times the authorized spending amount. And it's not black budget stuff either.
So Mark, you asked for answers. You've been asking for answers just on that fraction of what you uncovered.
Yeah.
So because it would be pretty easy for them to do that. You're not asking for the entire $21 trillion. I'm sure you've gotten some answers. What do they tell you?
I've gotten zero answers.
Oh.
Dave Lindorf, who wrote the article, which in some respects is quite good at summarizing, and I'm glad that it's out there, excuse me, because it formalizes in the mainstream media that this is not fake and, you know, that there really are $21 trillion. Because sometimes people hear that, you know, I talk to people and they say, oh, there must be some mistake.
Well, when I talk to people, they say, oh, you're talking about the national debt.
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about the national debt, correct?
Right, it's not the national debt.
No.
So I talked with Dave, spent quite a bit of time with him about all these issues, as did Catherine, and he interviewed inside, you know, people within government as well, and, you know, and he even had a formal FOIA request with legal backing to identify, you know, get information on these 170 adjustments, $2.1 trillion. Not even he has been able to get it. And he told me that even a lawmaker, a legislator, wasn't able to get that information either. So, you know, this bothers me. And one of the conclusions that Lindorf makes in his article is that, and this is where I disagree with Dave, he says that they're all, you know, plugs, made up numbers designed to obfuscate and put the military in a better position to argue for more money in the future.
Right, as opposed to money that came in and money that's gone, right?
Yeah.
He makes a point, and this is how I read the article, and tell me again if I'm, but when I read the article from The Nation, it's like, oh, well, no, money didn't come in and money didn't go out. It was all fake so that they could get more budgeting for the next year.
Yeah,
right?
That's what he concludes,
right?
Which I disagree with.
Well, how did he come to that conclusion? Because I don't see any data. I mean, Mark, what you wrote, the Inspector General, you got some redacted thing that was like all magic marker, right? At one point, didn't you?
Yes.
It was completely magic.
They didn't even give it to me. They just posted it. We happened to be searching and found it.
Right. And then you send it around, and it's all magic. I mean, you can't, there's nothing you can get out of that magic marker report.
No.
But how did this guy come to the conclusion that this was all, no money ever came through? It's all fake. How did he come to that conclusion?
I don't know. I interacted with him. I said, how can you conclude that?
Well, what did he say?
He says, well, talking with these people, this is my conclusion.
Okay,
has happened.
So, okay, here comes the conspiracy theory stuff, and you can shoot me down, okay? There's a thing called, that I've experienced over the years with government, called limited hangout, where they talk about an issue, and then they kind of report on the issue, but they obfuscate the issue and give false conclusions, so then they can come back and say, we've already talked about that, when in fact they haven't. And when I read this article, knowing what I know from you and from Catherine, that there's 21 trillion that nobody can provide any evidence of where it came from and where it went. But when I read this article, I'm saying, wait a minute. This guy's saying it's all fake. This is a limited hangout article. Now, am I wrong on that assessment?
Well, I asked the question. Dave has the right to write and conclude what he thinks is best, but I don't know how he could come to that conclusion because there's no supporting data. And at this point, after all I've been through with this process and redactions and people not answering questions and et cetera, my trust levels, let's just say, show me what's going on, and nobody's providing any information. It's just all shut down. And so you could conclude, well, they're shut down because why, right? And I just want to see, and I've always made the case that I'm not an insider. I don't have any experience in the system. I'm just shedding some light, making some information available, and I'm trying to ask pointed, useful questions and say, all right, you say this is all, accounting gimmicks designed to obfuscate. Well, show me what's going on. And that hasn't happened. The other thing I wanted to say that just happened on Friday, Dave Lindorf gave an interview with NPR about the article and the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And during the interview, the interviewee asked Dave, well, what does Mark Skidmore think? And and Dave responded with, well, he doesn't think it's that much money, something to the effect of, it's not trillions of dollars, it's
what?
Some money.
Mark, I've talked to you many hours. I've never heard you say that. Have you ever said that?
I never said it. I talked with Dave, interacted with him via email, making the point again just two or three days before his interview. So he knew it, I think, pretty clearly, and yet,
Have you talked to him?
It was an inaccurate statement.
Have you talked to him since that interview?
I communicated by email.
And did he respond?
Yeah, he responded and said,
I misunderstood.
Yeah, there was a it sounded not good, but they cut. There was an 11-minute interview, and we went for 40 minutes, and there was just the way it worked out. And it's like, well, that's a significant issue to me because that's not my feeling. My feeling is why can't we see some of these numbers? It's not black budget, standard appropriations. We should be able to see that stuff, and it's not hard to provide.
Well, if NPR was interested in what Mark Skidmore thinks about this, did NPR invite Mark Skidmore for an interview?
Nobody invited me.
Have they ever?
NPR, no. Michigan Public Radio did do something earlier this year, but then it didn't go anywhere. It's kind of interesting because I'd done the interview with Michigan Public Radio, and then I do work in economic development. I also did an interview about the same time with Nebraska Public Radio on rural housing issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the rural housing issue question made it all the way up to NPR, and then this $21 trillion issue just disappeared. Didn't go anywhere.
And then after the interview with this author on Friday, as follow-up, NPR has not gotten in touch with you.
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Hard to believe.
No, right? I'm thinking about whether I should follow up in some way.
Well, maybe this reporter can give you the email address of the person who booked him for that interview, and you can say, hey, by the way, how about the old Paul Harvey, here's the rest of the story kind of interview?
Yeah, next week I'll try to do something about that to clarify for the record.
I'm not trying to be a pessimist, Mark, but I am being a realist based on my interactions when it comes to this type of situation when I've been involved in it. I encourage you for record keeping to do send this in email to whoever it was who booked this guy who gave the wrong information. But I also anticipate they will not get back with you.
It wouldn't be surprised me in the least.
And they'll say, we already covered, and if they do, it'll be, we already covered this topic, Dr. Skidmore. We'll be in touch if we have other questions.
So we'll see. I'll let you know.
Well, one of the things your work and Catherine's work and your team's work actually led to, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, is the Pentagon decided that they were going to do an official audit. I believe this only came about after your initial presentation of where's the beef? Where's the $21 trillion, correct?
Yeah. They've been threatening to, quote-unquote, preparing to do their first ever independent audit for a number of years. So, I can't verify whether or not our was the reason nobody told me, well, we did it because, you guys started making noise about these questions. But about 4 days after an interview I did with Greg Hunter on USA Watchdog, they announced they were going to do a first-ever audit. And those results just came back, and you saw in the news that it was a quote-unquote failure. They weren't spokespeople say, well, we didn't expect to be successful anyway, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And I do want to add one other important point that I think Catherine will touch on in the next half hour, but this summer, I ran across an article about the Federal Accounting Standards Advisory Board, FASAB.
Yeah, this is really important.
Oh, it's essential, super important. And FASAB was recommending that, as the DOD is going through the audit, well, some issues of national security might pop up if we actually report transparently. And so rather than deal with that and maybe even redact some sensitive issues, they're recommending that some high-level officials, not clear who those people are, how many of them, would be able to determine whether it's a national security issue, and if it is, move expenditures from Activity A, where it's sensitive, over to a completely different part of government and not tell anybody. So now you have a small group of people determining what's a national security issue. You have a small group of people determining what should be reported officially. So now you have two sets of books that is now sanctioned. And this is so important because, up until October 4th when this was accepted by government, or this change was accepted by government, the citizens had the law on our side, even though the government didn't always, not very transparent, clearly from our discussion, but the law was on our side. Now the citizen has no recourse because we've institutionalized non-transparency with this law. And then one of your guests, Rob Kirby, mm-hmm. also highlighted how there is a law, if it's a national security issue, private companies mm-hmm. can also hide certain financial information as well. So you have two sides of non-transparency. And how can you make any decisions or do any kind of evaluation when you don't know how much money is being moved around on both the public side and how much money might be hidden in the private sector as well among certain corporations that work with government or certain corporations engaging in activities that are related to some issues of national security? You can't.
Well, in fact, some people have said to me after they've heard you speak about this, Mark, and Rob Kirby speak about it on the private side, they say, wow, the whole financial system is essentially, you can't count anything. It's based on quicksand. And I go, no, that quicksand has matter to it. This is actually more like vapor.
Yeah.
This is a system. This is a financial system, the accounting system of the government and of the private sector. And actually, what Rob pointed out, Kirby, on the private side, this actually went into effect in 1934 and was modified by George Bush II when he actually transferred the authority from the president's office to the Director of National Intelligence.
Yes. So we don't have any idea. We don't know if it's billions or trillions. We never will.
Right.
Under this scenario, unless there's a change. And that's why I say it's so important. If we, you know, the two things I would say to your listeners is, one, you know, you can find all of this information on missingmoneys.solari.com, but the FASAB ruling is so important to let, nobody knows about this, right? Very few people know about
this. And when did that happen? When did that ruling happen?
It was approved October 4th, just before the audit results for the DOD were announced, right?
Well, that's pure coincidence, Mark.
Yeah, I was asking, you know, a reporter was asking me, well, what do you think about the audit? And my point is, well, with the change in the accounting rule, you know, it's completely non-transparent. I have no idea whether this is useful or not. Why waste my time reading the summary of an audit if these rules are in place? It's ridiculous.
And what do the reporters say? What? What change?
It's like,
what?
Yeah, I guess you got a point. Wow, yeah.
So, Mark, now look at this from an economic standpoint. If you were going to invest in a company, would you invest in a company that has fraudulent books or two sets of books?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either. So if we look at our country, right now with our government, we really don't know. I mean, they talk about $21 trillion in debt. That might not even be the tip of the iceberg, correct? Based on rules being changed.
On the outside, I'm not an insider, but when I look at these numbers and I see $21 trillion of transactions that our own government cannot verify, I have to ask the question, what is going on? That's why I keep pointing back to just one example, 170 transactions, $2.1 trillion. Why?
Well, right? and even looking at this, Mark, I mean, if the Army was budgeted for $122 billion in 2015, but they got reportedly $6.5 trillion, which is 10 times the entire budget of the Department of Defense, not just the Army, where did that money come from?
Yeah, and there's, you know, in an appendix of that report, there's about an $800 billion transfer. Well, it looks like a transfer from the Treasury to the Army. Above and beyond the $122 billion, this is an unsupported adjustment. This is a transaction that, quote-unquote, can't be verified. So now we're involving the Treasury. So I want to go to the Treasury and say, well, what exactly is going on here? Because in a standard budget environment, the Army would receive a certain number of allocations through the year that would sum to $122 billion. Why would we need an unsupported adjustment for an $800 billion transfer? Please explain that. Now you're involving the Treasury. Well, then you have to ask the question, well, if it is an actual transfer of funds, well, where would Treasury have gotten $800 billion?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all kinds of implications and questions if you go down that path, right? And I think, you know, it's much easier just to blame it on DOD and say, these guys are just fraudsters, and it's all a problem because they're greedy. And it's like, well, maybe it's a little bigger than that.
Yeah, a lot bigger. Mark, how can folks follow you? They need to follow you.
I don't have anything other than my MSU website, but this information is all available on, it's called missingmoney.solari.com, and that's Catherine Austin Fitz's website.
Mark, I'd like to thank you. You are an incredible patriot. You have incredible courage. You, I believe, and our next guest, Catherine Austin Fitz, should, and I'm very sincere about this, win the Nobel Prize for your work on this issue that affects every person of the world. Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom. Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker.